This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Wrapping up our conversation about the Padres, Lisa in the chat asked, have you guys heard anything about a new or different TV deal that's not a paid subscription? Like a real Bally Sports or Channel 4 coming in and paying the Padres, you know, a couple $100 million for a regular television rights deal? And the answer, the short answer is no. Have not heard anything about a potential deal. I think the best case scenario for the Padres and kind of what they're hoping for is that once the whole Diamond Sports Bally's things get settled in court with their bankruptcy and hopefully, you know, like 15 teams end up without a TV deal, they package them all together for a maybe like a streaming service, an Amazon or an Apple TV that then, you know, pays a huge amount, you know, billions, and then they split up the money among all those teams. More like the NFL does it in terms of like a national deal, but then it's split probably not totally equally, but then the Padres are part of that streamer.
Do we know how that Bally, that Diamond Sports process is going? Because I feel like every couple months I see, they're like dying slowly, right? Every couple months I see two more teams.
Evan Drellich just tweeted 5 minutes ago. Objection deadline in Diamond Sports Group bankruptcy case has been pushed to Thursday. Was previously Tuesday. MLB and Diamond have been negotiating TV fate of six teams. Unclear. Reds, Tigers, Royals, Angels, Cardinals, Rays, planning to be returning to Diamond Sports, Braves, and the Marlins. So they're still in a very drawn-out court proceeding about that bankruptcy. Only the Padres and Diamondbacks, I believe, were completely like let go from Diamond and on their own. Everyone else remains in court, still being negotiated, still trying to iron out all the details of a very drawn out bankruptcy process.
Yeah, and you know the Padres, there's a serious interest in the team here in San Diego, honestly, but you're not going to get a deal from somebody that strokes you a $350 million check.
No, we don't have enough people in the county. It's just never going to make sense.
Correct.
More than 10 million people in Los Angeles. They don't need everybody to sign up for that to be a, you know, a smart deal. They put that on cable, they sell a ton of advertising, they can make up their $350 million a year. No one in San Diego, none of our local TV stations can manage that. It's just not feasible in this market to pay that kind of money.
Yep.
All right, Paul. Awesome. Your turn now.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoo-yah?
All right.
Gentlemen, we will start off in, how about some college football? We'll go back to Friday. Boise State hosting San Diego State Aztecs.
Ugly.
This one, yeah, the line going into the game was 24.5. And that ended up covering. If you bet on Boise State, they won 56-24.
Covered in the second quarter. It was 28-0 when I turned it off.
Some guy I know told me that the Aztecs were going to keep it close.
Yeah.
And so I took the Aztecs.
Who said that?
You did.
I didn't. I said they could lose by 20. They could lose by 30. I said it could go either way. They lost by 30.
What kind of advice is that?
I said stay away from that game. I said stay away.
You said that. I think they can keep it close. Really encourage what I saw against Washington State. So I took.
They certainly could have.
I heard
well, obviously they could have. They could have.
They scored 24 points. I didn't think they'd give up. What, did they give up 50? 51? What was the final score?
Hi, I'm Ben Higgins for BetQL. Tonight is the Chiefs against the Bucks. The line is Chiefs minus 9. They could win by 9. They could lose by 9. I don't really know.
I'm Ben Higgins.
I'm Ben Higgins.
56 points.
Yeah.
Aztecs teams rarely give up 56 points. That was a bit of a surprise.
Hence why you told me
I was surprised
by
that.
And I took them thinking they'd keep it close.
If they had just held Boise under 48, you would have won. And I thought the Aztecs could hold Boise under 48, but they didn't.
No, that's where college football.
So they stopped that running back for the most part.
He ended up with 31 carries and 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. But
it was the quarterback that was slinging it all over the place.
The running back was kind of hurt, and the Aztecs did slow him down. But they were so bought into just slowing him down.
Let's just get this guy.
Quarterback, like, I have 7 guys wide open because you've got 11 guys trying to stop our running back. So
ridiculous.
That was kind of an easy call for the offensive coordinator of Boise State.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to pass it and use the play action to maximum effect.
It's just incredible. Incredible.
Not a ton of shakeup, at least in the top 5. The Ducks, they were unanimous this time at number 1, but they stay there.
You had
Georgia at number 2.
Ohio State, Penn State game.
Penn State just never wins the big games.
We did
talk about that. I got that one right. I told you Penn State doesn't win big games at home, and they didn't.
All right. Well, San Diego State, they were on the road in Boise, but when they're at home, they play at Snapdragon Stadium. And another team that sometimes plays at Snapdragon Stadium, the Wave, they put out a hell of a statement over the weekend.
This was Friday
afternoon.
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, statement on match relocation due to Snapdragon Stadium field conditions. Friday, the Wave said, Wave FC has made a difficult decision to relocate our upcoming home match to Louisville, Kentucky due to ongoing player and field safety concerns at Snapdragon Stadium. The safety and well-being of all players is our top priority, and the current field conditions at Snapdragon Stadium, which are the responsibility of a third party, have not met the standards required for a safe playing environment. A thorough review of the field was conducted, and all alternative options within Southern California were exhausted. However, the league ultimately determined that moving the match to Louisville was the best solution. They saw that they announced a watch party up at Front Wave Arena in Oceanside. I think they had 4,000 people there, and the Wave did win their match that had to be moved because of the field. And we've talked about the field a few times now. It looks terrible on TV. I've heard it looks terrible in person.
The players have said it's terrible. The football player, I mean, it wasn't great for the... You were there against Washington State. It wasn't great.
It's more than just aesthetic. Snapdragon Stadium issued a statement as well.
It was the battle of the statements on
Friday.
They
said they're disappointed with the NWSL decision to move Sunday's match from Snapdragon Stadium. Although we recognize the aesthetics...
Snapdragon
Stadium. Although we recognize the aesthetics of the field do not meet our desired expectations, we're confident our readiness to play a match on Sunday in safe conditions. Several factors, including high demand for field use and weather, have affected the turf, but we're dedicated to investing resources, specialized expertise, and advanced technology to address these challenges going forward. It's more than just aesthetically bad, though. Players were slipping last week when San Diego State played Washington State. You could see the sand, you know, popping up when players would take steps. It wasn't a great field, not just how it looked, but how it played. So, wasn't surprised when the Wave made this decision. Landon Donovan had complained about it in their last match. Here's the question. Whose fault is it?
Yes.
Whose responsibility is it?
Well, Snapdragon Stadium ultimately is run... You know, the Aztecs have hired someone to run it. and manage it. And that group that manages it obviously has made some bad decisions when it comes to the field. Now, grass can be tricky sometimes. They put in a new field about a month ago, and it was supposed to be a better turf, a bluegrass that was going to perform better during, like, you know, September and October. They thought it was going to look better and was going to perform better. Clearly, that was a mistake. That was the wrong turf. It has not reacted well on the field. Is that like negligent or derelict? I mean, they tried to make what they thought was the best decision for their turf, and it just turned out to be a god-awful decision, that this field has been a disaster.
So the other stadiums deal with this kind of crap too?
Yeah, you know, other stadiums have had
trial and error with different types of grass.
Well, and that's the thing. They've had a couple of years, but sometimes it takes, I mean, I played golf courses that takes years for them to figure out exactly how to get their turf.
Yeah, but you're not
going right
to get hurt on a golf.
No, you're not going to get hurt on a golf. But aesthetically, it's important to have it look good, as it is in college football and
Benny,
soccer. You want the turf to look good. But there's no magic. Okay, well, if we just spent another $20 million, it's definitely going to look good. It's not. There's no magic bullet to make grass grow. Perfectly.
This has been an ongoing thing since the stadium
right.
opened up. It falls on the Aztecs to figure it out. It's their stadium. It's shoddy right now.
I agree. I think it does fall on the Aztecs.
It does.
But if they say, no, we contract the field maintenance and everything.
Well, ultimately,
it still
falls on the Aztecs because right. they own it. They're the ones who hire the other.
It doesn't absolve them
because
they say, oh, we hired another company. Blame them. Send all complaints to them.
Bam.
Uh-oh.
How dare you?
But
Evil JD?
Hey.
I think I was actually the one defending San Diego State there. But
I know you were, Ben.
It's been a minute.
About time you did. Did you enjoy them free tickets out to the Snap last week? Hello, Ben. Did you enjoy them free tickets?
I guess the important thing...
Did you enjoy the free tickets, Ben? Answer the question.
Yeah,
all right, good. Then how about this? Shut your pie hole. Move on to the next story. And let's go. Enough said. All right.
Ultimately, the problem is you got a lot of games going on that turf.
Well, and more to come.
With San Diego FC.
Yeah.
They have to come up. They have to figure it out.
they have to figure it out fast. As I said early in the show, we're never beating the small town allegations here. We're not.
No, there's bad, you know, you'll ask a baseball player, there's better fields and worse fields in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
All right, I've been on the grass at Petco Park.
It's good.
Pretty nice.
Really
lovely.
Good.
Extremely nice.
I was on the grass at Petco Park on Saturday night at Deftones, and it was beautiful.
Can we maybe connect?
Stunning.
Whoever's in charge down the street here at Snapdragon, and whoever's in charge of the grass at Petco Park.
Oh, you shut
maybe
your
they
mouth
go
too.
Out for
you
lunch
damn, I
and just exchange some ideas.
Aren't you an alumni, Paul? Shut your mouth. Get ready for Aztecs basketball. Okay, that's the exciting part. Just shut your mouth, both of you.
Sorry, Evil Jenny.
It's all right.
Welcome back, by the way.
It's good to be back. Man.
There is a potential for disaster here.
Big time.
If none of the soccer teams feel like their field is safe, it's going to be a real
problem.
One
thing I know about soccer teams, they never complain about stuff, so you guys should be in really good shape.
I won't pretend to have followed closely with the Wave season. I know it came to an end with a win. They did win on Sunday. But really rough year for them.
Yeah. Rough year for them.
Rough so year, rough. Like, from start to finish.
Yeah. And behind the scenes, on the field.
A dramatic cherry on top.
Went from the top team in the league last year to missing the playoffs this year.
We really
it was a
do
bad
it.
Year.
We really do it good here. It's really good. You know what I felt bad for is Elston. Because Elston does PA. And so he missed the game. Like, you have to bang a game check because they're like, hey, by the way, Craig, we don't need you tonight. We're going to Louisville to play the game.
I don't think they flew Craig to Louisville.
No, I don't think they did either. I don't think they did either, man.
All right, finally,
oh,
I got one last
story. It's not one thing, it's another.
I mean, you know, they replace those fields every few months. You got to hope the next time they do it, they get it right somehow.
Got to.
All right, my last story here. It reminded me, I was thinking back to Halloween last Thursday, and Woodsy, you were RIP Bozo / generational hater.
Generational hater.
And I had that in mind when I was reading my latest story here that the brand Fireball Whiskey, not bad, I'm okay with some little cinnamon fireball
whiskey. Get down on some fireball every now and then.
They are working on a new brand called Crierball.
Crierball.
Okay. And it is made with the tears of your rivals.
That's so stupid.
I go, oh, okay, you've got my interest. I'll click. Give you your click here. So they are working on this drink called Crierball, which they say embraces competitive spirit by blending Fireball with the actual human tears of losers.
How does that work?
Fireball.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
I'm glad you asked, guys. You
know, mechanics.
Fireball is going to 6 big rivalry games this month. 3 college games, 3 NFL games, and they're going to have people stationed at the exits of the stadium asking fans of the losing team if they would like to donate their tears. Every drop will be captured and stored in sealed, these sealed up little sterile jars.
How sad are they? When's the last time you cried to where you could actually collect some in a pool?
Yeah, I'm like, you have to,
in
like,
your hand.
Hey, you got a second? Come over here. I need you to think of something very, very sad.
Who actually cries after their team loses? Like, cries, like, real.
I'm sure there were some Padres fans who cried after they lost to the Dodgers.
I'll shed a tear, but I'm not. It's not going to be enough to where you could put it in a vial and then use it. It's better than urine ball, I guess. Guys, come drink the urine of...
I guess my question is, even if they did manage to capture enough tears to then put the tiniest of drops in each bottle of Fireball, who actually wants to drink that?
I don't want to drink somebody's fire.
If you got,
I mean tears, not fire.
If you got Fireball made with the tears of Dodger fans, would you drink it?
What are they crying about?
Just saying, that's your rival.
I just don't trust those tears.
So they're gonna, yeah, they're gonna put the tears in these little jars, transport them back to their facility for storing, and
there's no way this has got to be.
They say it's gonna take months. It'll be made in time for next year.
Did you get this on NotTrue.com, Polly?
Fireball whiskey has the
post. Onion.
Yes, this is real. Fireball tier collectors will be stationed at some of the hottest rivalry games this season. So they're gonna start. They were already at Florida versus Georgia. This weekend, they'll be at the Eagles-Cowboys game in Dallas. The week after that, Packers-Bears. Good rivalry. Ravens-Steelers after that. Auburn-Alabama. Michigan-Ohio State.
It's not
I
my,
can see
it's
some
not my,
people
your kids
from those
ever
fan bases
after
crying.
A Padres loss? Like, children? Tears?
If you drink the tears of children,
Taylor
you're the biggest monster I've ever seen.
Bo gets upset.
Yeah.
But not to where he's cried yet. I found a video the other day of the day that we traded Juan Soto. And I got in the car and picked him up from school. I said, hey, buddy, I put it on camera. And I go, we traded Juan Soto today. And he just looks out the window. I go, how do you feel? And he goes, Essie. He said the word and everything. That's just what he said. And I go, all right, me too. No tears yet, though. He's pretty cold. He's pretty cold.
Remember the No More Tears shampoo?
Because yeah, we use that.
You do use
that
still? Well,
we use the baby No More Tears, yeah. But
because if it gets in their eyes, it doesn't sting.
Yeah, it works. It really works.
I'm going to pass on that Crier ball.
Yeah, I still don't think it's real.
I mean, they're going to try. I don't know if they're going to actually pull it off, but...
So dumb. I remember when I was a kid...
Like, if you're an Alabama fan, you just beat Auburn, your rival... You're going to celebrate in a year from now with some Crierball.
Straight Fireball.
Are they going to specifically like have different brand, like different versions?
Yeah, like this is for Bama haters.
This is for the Auburn tears for Bama, or is it just a general
came from?
Just a kind of amalgamation of all the tears together.
I remember when I was a kid, Kiss did a comic book, and they all went and gave their blood. And they took all of the band's blood and put it in the red ink. And so when you bought the Kiss comic book, you got actual Kiss blood, which that's kind of cool to me. I like that. I think that's really cool. This one, you're not eating the book.
Comic
you're
book
just reading
pages.
It. You're like, ooh, that's Gene Simmons' blood right there. That's badass. But this is very weird. It's somebody's bodily fluids that you're drinking with your cinnamon whiskey. Weird. Thank you, Paulie.
You're welcome.
I still think that's from NotTrue.com, but...
We'll all right, tier one, Todd's loss is your gain. Todd lost to Woods today and take on Woods, which means the prize The tickets to comedian Tom Segura this Friday at Pechanga Arena are up for grabs. When we come back, your chance to win coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Major League Baseball general managers meetings underway. And again, we said earlier, and don't expect any big news, trades, free agent signings out of the GM meetings. That's actually pretty rare. But still wouldn't be surprised to hear the Padres have some news about their manager or coaching staff this week, Woods. That's something you do have to take care of early in the offseason if you're going to address it. And while, you know, Mike Schilt is not a free agent, he's got another year left on his deal, feels like there's some urgency to try to settle something one way or another. If you're going to extend him, probably want to do it now. Get the coaching staff in place, re-sign Ruben Niebla, get all your ducks in a row coaching-wise before you start worrying about the players, which will be the next order of business.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, that's a couple of big ones right there that you'd want to get off your plate, I would imagine, if you're A.J. Preller.
I would think. But again, there's no requirement to sign Mike Schilt to an extension.
No.
It will mean the two sides coming together on a number and a amount of time that they're both comfortable with. I'd imagine that, you know, from Mike Schilt's perspective, clearly wants to make, you know, as much money as possible and have as much security as possible.
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
Good, Schilty.
His leverage is 90-plus win seasons every year he's been a manager, consistent postseason appearances with the Cardinals and the Padres.
Yeah,
that's correct.
He does it again this year, and he doesn't have a contract. Could be a very hot commodity as a managerial free agent for the 2026 season, correct?
That's really cool.
Man, if I'm Schilty, I may just be like, we can wait. We're good. You know, we're fine. But you run the risk of having a really poor season and nobody calling you. But I don't think that's going to happen. Schilt's a baseball man through and through. What would I do? Well, it depends on the offer. If they came back with an offer that was like, you know, a minuscule raise, I'd be like, I'll wait.
Does Mike Schilt deserve to be one of the best paid managers in baseball on his track record?
It's a good question.
I mean, what he's asking for, and I don't know specifically what he's asking for, but if he's looking for, you know, top third of baseball.
Yeah, has he earned that? I'd say top third.
A lot of regular season success, playoff success.
Now, do we know what he made officially in 2024?
I have no idea.
According to the reports, he was making in the lower third of baseball managers. Around $1 million, maybe a little more than that. I don't know. Haven't seen any specific numbers thrown out there.
But Front Office Sports has him making, he said he made $4 million in 2024.
See, that's way more than I had heard. Yeah. That's way
tied
more than I heard.
Tied for fifth place on the hot list of top paid managers.
Yeah. Front Office Sports updated in early May of 24.
That doesn't.
Council at 8. Pedro Grifol from the White Sox at 5.5. That is
thievery. Doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, Mike Schilt was a guy without a managerial job. No, I don't believe he had a ton of offers. Why would the Padres have had to overpay to sign him? If he had that much leverage, he would have gotten more than a 2-year deal. Or when he was originally made the manager. He only got a 2-year deal. That tells me that the Padres had more leverage at that point. You know, they knew Bob Melvin was gone. They had an in-house option. They looked at all their possibilities, and they decided on Mike Schilt. But they did not. They did not make him one of the 5 highest paid managers in baseball.
This is a good point.
That doesn't make any sense.
This is a good point. and there's a Reddit thread talking about this. Why in the world do baseball managers make so much less than NFL head coaches and NBA head coaches? You want to talk about a bitch of a season, an absolute grind and a bitch of a season. It's the baseball season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. Is it... I realize, like...
I think football coaches have a much bigger impact on their team, though, than baseball coaches do.
Coaches, yeah. I mean, I guess, but...
Yeah,
a good baseball manager will help you win a couple of extra games on the margins, you know, with a couple of good decisions on who to pinch hit,
yeah,
when.
You're not installing an offense and a defense, per se.
In football coaching, you're literally calling the plays,
buddy,
that determine the success and failure almost as much as the execution of the
plays.
You call the right play that ends up with a guy wide open.
Yeah.
Anyone can complete that in football. You don't even need good players if you run the right plays. You know, now good players obviously make the difference in tight games and, you know, in the end,
but it's
you
the
know, it
volume.
Comes down to players.
It's the volume of games that I think deserve more money. It's the sheer, they were talking about managers that were making $1 million a year. That's not enough. That's not enough to be a big league manager. It's not. 162
You'd do
games.
It for $1 million a year.
I don't think I would.
You would.
I don't think I would. I'd bench coach for a year, but I don't want to have to make those decisions, not for a measly $1 million a year. That's nothing, man. For that much work, that is insanely low.
And it's a dream job for so many people who get into baseball. That's got to be a factor in terms of what you're willing to do it for.
I'm telling you, man. JH619 says NFL coaches work 18 hours a day minimum. Yeah, you know what? A lot of it's eyewash, buddy. I do feel like sleeping in the office, that whole bit is just, that's what it is. It's shtick. It's just shtick.
It's
this list of top MLB managers, though, is wild.
Pedro Grifol making $5.5 million makes me want to die.
Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts were 11 and 12 at 3.3 and 3.25 million.
Well, Adam makes a good point here. In football, you're paying a coach for their scheme. In baseball, you're paying a manager for their culture. How hard is it to implement and keep a culture for 162 games plus spring training? That's worth your baseline for a manager should be $3 million. If you're the lowliest team,
aren't the players really more responsible for creating the culture than a manager?
A little bit of both, but we saw Bob Melvin let the players create the culture.
If you don't have
work.
Players that are willing to buy in, it's not usually because you have the wrong manager. It's because you have the wrong players that weren't willing to buy in.
Yeah. Fair, but there's culture in football. There's culture
football,
in basketball.
About, yeah, the Patriot way.
Yeah,
Alabama.
That's a culture.
Nick Saban.
That's a culture. Yeah, I guess scheme is the right way. I don't know, man. I think for the sheer volume of games, they are grossly underpaid. Man, that's nuts. That's nuts. $1 million. You're a big league manager. Pass. It's not enough. Not enough headache. That's not enough for the headache and the length. And the girth of the season, Ben. It's a girthy season.
I mean, you open yourself up to a lot of
baseball games are
criticism.
Long. Baseball games are long. To 9 innings every night, doubleheaders, the travel. Bro,
people coming
it.
At you
yes.
on social media every single day, having to deal with unruly fan bases.
Yeah.
We should be paid a lot
I'm
more,
underpaid,
actually.
Yeah.
We're dealing with all these same things.
And we
for
cover
a fraction,
the exact same amount.
A fraction of a Major League Baseball's manager's salary.
I'm on strike. From here on out, I'm on strike.
Hey. We only get the bad stuff.
Yeah, we literally only
I
get
mean,
the bad
we don't
stuff.
Get the, you know, the luxury plane
the
travel.
Points,
and
the yeah. food. I mean, Mike Schilt, he's replete with corn dogs and tater tots and... We get nothing over here. We get pizza at the round table. That's just an extra hour of work. I'm on strike from here on out.
Yeah, you get pizza, you got to work an extra
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, get an extra hour. And I don't even get to really eat it because I'm talking. All right.
Does Mike Schilt have to give out Tom Segura tickets?
No.
No. Does Ben Higgins?
Yes.
Right now, in fact.
Right now.
Your chance to win tickets to this Friday show at Pechanga Arena. Be the third caller at 833-288-0973. Win a pair of tickets right now. If you don't, you'll have another chance tomorrow on Take on Woods. And if no one wins Take on Woods, we'll open them up again for the rest of the Tier 1s. Call now, 833-288-0973. Come back, wrap things up, get you ready for Annie and Elston. Talk a little more Ha-Sung Kim and the Padres shortstop question going into the offseason now. Next here on 97.3 The Fan. They play this song at Dia de los Deftones on Saturday night, Woods?
Not when I was there.
Oh, you didn't stay for the end.
Oh, no.
Well, you brought a six-year-old.
I did. In the Fair rain. Enough. I don't think they played Knife Party. Boy, they slayed it, though. Man, I love that day. Every year. Love it. Such a fun thing to do at Petco Park. They really do it right. A lot of fun. Good memories.
It's a clever theme and
yeah.
collaboration.
Oh, so cool.
How they do it every single
year. I'm low-key obsessed with Dia de los Muertos. I think it's just the coolest thing. I realize somebody died, and you're sad, but I think the way everybody dies. I think the way they do it is really cool, and I like the skulls and the orange flowers and the butterflies and the whole thing. Might get a nice back piece, Ben, of Dia de los Muertos. Mm. Yeah, what do you think about that?
What's the that's the animated movie, the Pixar one?
Coco. Yeah, love it.
Your boys like
they
that
loved
one?
It. Oh. Yeah. Just obsessed with it. So it's like a thing in our home. Bo made an ofrenda that we forgot in the car, but he had it all made.
For your cat.
For all of our pets we've lost, Peter Seidler was on it, and my late father-in-law was on it as well. But we forgot it in the car. So also forgot his headphones. Or his...
Oh, his noise can.
His noise can. We walked in. I go, buddy, we forgot your headphone. He goes, you going to be okay? He goes, I'll be fine.
He's old enough. Yeah. He's ready for full volume concerts.
Sound like a wink, wink, don't tell mom.
Kind of. It was like, because they won't let us back out once we get in. Can't go back out to the car. You know, they think you're smoking a joint or something.
Sure, that's what they would think of Bo.
Bo. And I said, oh, my God, we forgot the ofrenda and we forgot the earmuffs.
Because no one was inside already.
There was no marijuana in there at all whatsoever. Yeah, so it was great.
Congratulations to
Steve,
who won the tickets to Tom Segura. Call in again tomorrow for your chance to win first on Take on Woods. And if Woods wins again, we'll have another opportunity for the Tier 1s to win Tom Segura tickets. All right, MLB.com's Mike Petriello tweeted this morning, I think the actual funniest subplot of the offseason is the possibility that the Padres actually really need to find a shortstop.
It's not funny.
He thinks it's funny. Talk about what the Padres are facing in the post Ha-Sung Kim world after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So how does a team that is that is built in nothing but shortstops end up in the offseason thinking we might actually need to go out and acquire a shortstop to fill our need at that position?
We don't.
Now, obviously, they have options if the push came to shove, but are any of them good options for the San Diego Padres?
Well, one you spent $280 million on, so that's the guy I'm rolling out at short.
Right, but they spent that money with the anticipation that Xander Bogaerts was not going to be a long-term shortstop.
But not yet. We're not there yet.
Well, it seemed like they were there when they moved to second base.
Was that December of 2022 that they signed Xander?
Yes.
Right?
And they had to actually promise him that they would play him at shortstop for a year because Xander knew they wanted to move him immediately to second base.
Did they think Jackson Merrill was their shortstop of the future?
They probably did.
Whatever they think, they don't think that Xander Bogaerts is a shortstop anymore. They think he's a second baseman. So if you put Xander Bogaerts at short, which you absolutely can do, and they did at the end of the last season, you're acknowledging that that's not your desired option. You're going with something other than what you really wanted at shortstop, which you may have to do. But if you move Fernando Tatis Jr. back to short, you're also
not happening.
Acknowledging that, you're moving a Platinum Glove winner out of position to a position that, you know, he had a higher count of errors at shortstop and is going to put his health more at risk, you know, playing the shortstop position than he has in the outfield.
I think you take that one off the board.
All
right, exciting as he is, and as much as he would love to personally go back there,
Almost forgotten entirely. He's a right fielder to me.
There are too many injuries that could pop up. He's already been injured. Let's scratch that from the whiteboard.
So you've got Jackson Merrill out in center field.
Jackson Merrill
back to shortstop.
Now plays center field for my San Diego Padres. Now, you could see yourself getting into a position with Jackson Merrill, who, by the way, would like to play shortstop, I'm sure, because that's what everybody wants to do. Could you foresee a scenario where Jackson says, I love it here. I love it. It's great, but I want to play shortstop. I want to be a shortstop. I'm only 21 years old.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
I want to be a shortstop. So I will sign an extension to stay in San Diego as long as I'm the shortstop. Could you see that happening?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can.
The answer is yes. I've told you guys the story, haven't I? I've told the story on the air, haven't I? When my six-year-old met one Jackson Merrill and said hello to Jackson Merrill, and he loves Jackson Merrill, and he wants fly balls in the outfield because of Jackson Merrill. I said, Jackson, this is my son, Bo. Bo's a huge fan of yours. Bo now wants to take fly balls because of you. Do you have any advice for this young, burgeoning baseball superstar? And Jackson Merrill said, yeah, stay in the infield. So they all want to play shortstop. If you ask Manny Machado, hey, you think you can roll short this year? He'd go, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I could play. They all want to. If you ask Kyle Higashioka, you want to play short this year? He'd go, yep, I want to play short. Everybody wants to play short. So I could foresee, I don't think he would.
I'm assuming Manny's off the table. You're not going to
Manny's off the table. Manny's off the table.
Jake is probably not your best option. Emergency,
now,
sure.
Jared says in the chat, Jackson is two-team first. He would do whatever it takes to win. Correct. But would he sign a 13-year deal to do that? He may play center field for the next couple of years and say, I really wanted to be a shortstop. I want to be a shortstop. But I guess they got him. Once he's here, they can do whatever they want.
Well, that's the thing. I would imagine, because Jared is right, Jackson is team first. Even if they signed him and said, we're going to make you the shortstop, if he realized we're probably better off this year if I move to the outfield, he would do it again. Because he wants to win.
For sure.
And that's what he did this year.
And he was great at it.
I mean, part of it was he wanted to be in the big leagues, and that was his fastest path to the big leagues, was starting in center field, because the Padres had a desperate need for an outfielder. But now they kind of have a need for a shortstop. And ultimately, I mean, if I'm laying odds right now, the odds-on favorite to be the opening day starting shortstop for the San Diego Padres has to be Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Correct? After that, I don't know who the second choice would be. Tyler Wade might be the second choice right now. Honestly, I don't think they're going to move Xander or Jackson or Manny. I mean, I don't think they're going to move Fernando or Jackson or Manny, which means it's probably Xander, someone who's not in the organization right now, or someone like Tyler Wade.
Right.
Would be the starting shortstop. That wouldn't be like on a permanent basis, but Tyler Wade was your starting third baseman on opening day this year as well. Doesn't mean that they anticipated he was going to be there long term, but in the organization, someone who can do it, has done it a few times before, certainly a possibility. And I don't think Ha-Sung Kim is completely out of the question, but I would doubt that there's going to be a one-year deal for a reunion here with Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah.
So
I think you just put Xander there, Luis Arraez, and Jake Cronenworth is your right side of the infield. For now, I mean, you know, Crony at second, Luis Arraez at first.
Are you in the market for a designated hitter then this offseason?
Yeah, absolutely. Big slugger.
You know who had his contract voided, did not have his option picked up? Joey Gallo.
Saw that. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had a bookmark here this morning. This is pretty great. Joey Gallo has the ninth most batted balls hit at least 115 miles an hour during the past decade in Major League Baseball. However, so what? Because he's also a 194 hitter with a brain-dissolving 1,292 strikeouts to go with just 557 hits in the past decade in Major League Baseball.
Could you make the argument that because the Padres strike out so little, that they can absorb Joey Gallo's strikeouts better than any other team?
No, I don't think you can. I really don't. I mean, great. He's hit a lot of balls hard at 115 miles an hour plus in the last 10 years. 1,292 Ks to 557 hits. And what's he made in his career? Probably $30 million. I mean, it's just staggering.
Still walks quite a bit, doesn't he?
I don't know.
I mean, when you swing and miss as often as you do of your ball four.
I just don't know.
Some of the time as well.
I know that I don't know that I want him I know I don't want them. I know I don't want them. Holy cow.
We've spent every offseason for the past 6 years debating should the Padres acquire Joey Gallo.
And it's never really been a debate. I don't think that anybody wants him here. I don't think he's a good fit. That is insane. Insane.
John Heyman reports the Braves are planning to pick up Marcel Ozuna's $16 million option today.
I think so.
That is a very easy choice for the Atlanta Braves, considering the production they got from him this offseason. Yeah, today is the final day for teams and players to make their contract option decisions. It's also the last day for teams to offer qualifying offers to free agents that are departing the organization. Now, I believe players have a couple of weeks to decide whether or not they're going to take it. So if you get offered the qualifying offer, which is just over $21 million, you can take your time deciding whether to keep it and come back on a one-year deal or reject it, go to free agency, and then that team would be eligible for draft pick compensation if you signed with another club.
Got it.
The Padres, the only two real candidates are Ha-Sung Kim and Jurickson Profar. But again, that $21 million price tag and the possibility that they would say yes at that price for 1 year probably gives the Padres some pause before making those. I'm sure AJ would love the draft pick compensation. Loves the extra draft picks. But are you willing to pay Ha-Sung Kim or Jurickson Profar $21 million for 1 year?
So much scratch, man. So much scratch. Evaldi declined his $20 million player option for the 2025 season, so he wants to hit the market. The Diamondbacks picked up the $15 million option on Eugenio Suarez for 2025. That's a no-brainer. He was a monster for them, and they'll have him back for another season, Benny. But yeah, I think Padres in the market for a bat, power bat, certainly. And I think you can make do with what you have in the infield right now and feel pretty good about it. Pretty good. You know, needing an uptick from Cronenworth, needing a rise to be healthy, and having Xander knowing what position he's playing and having Manny at third. I think you roll into the season feeling okay about that.
I just haven't put a ton of thought into bats and position players, knowing that pitching feels like it has to be the priority starting pitching for the Padres this offseason. If you're going to invest and go above the luxury tax level and spend that money,
yeah,
I feel like it has to be on pitching. It's got to be the direction that you're going, and then you make do with the bats that you've got and you know, try to find maybe a sleeper somewhere, but you're not, I don't think you're going out and spending on a premium bat. Pete Alonso is not going to be
a Padre. No, I don't think he's in your
plans. In 2025. I just can't see those guys being in the plans for the Padres this offseason.
Yeah, I agree. There are a lot of good players out there, though, man. Still a lot of good players out there. And
remember, they all want to end up on teams as well.
Yeah.
So at some point, price tags will come down a little bit. And, you know, patience may be a virtue this offseason for the Padres.
Think about how long it took you to get Peralta and Solano last year. And you're really trying to recreate the magic that you got from those guys. And maybe you end up bringing both of those guys back.
Either of them, we haven't talked about them really at all this offseason.
Neither started the year with the Padres.
Correct. So, I mean, it worked out, though. It worked out. No guarantee of that happening again.
So, general managers' meetings, perhaps some more news will come out during the day today. We will, of course, talk about it tomorrow morning when we rejoin you at 6 a.m. And if anything happens over the next 4 hours, Annie and Elston will take care of that as we follow all the baseball offseason news. They are coming up next. We are heading out. Great job, producer Paul Reindl. No guests today, but that's okay. We had a good Monday show anyway.
Get used to it, buddy.
And Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.